You're listening to the Ben Bankus Podcast.
Welcome to the Ben Bankus Podcast, everybody. Episode 133. Please hit the like and subscribe button if you are watching on YouTube. If you are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, please subscribe. Send to your friends. Now with video on Spotify, you can watch this video on Spotify as well as the audio, so you don't have to sign up for YouTube Premium to be able to turn off YouTube and look at other things on your phone. If you want to sponsor this show, since we don't really have an official sponsor yet, we're working on getting MVP Brewing. But if you want to help the show out, please go over to patreon.com/BenBankus. Patreon subscribers receive a bonus podcast roughly once a week. And also, any video I make, I usually post it on Patreon first, get some feedback from you guys, get some ideas from my patrons. So the Ukraine Nancy Pelosi sketch that I posted has like 200,000 or 300,000 views on Facebook, and I think close to 100 on Instagram. That was posted like 2 weeks prior on Patreon. So that's what we do. Help us out, folks. Welcome to the show. Got a lot to talk about. Of course, we are on the brink of a monkeypox crisis, which, of course, is not going to be an issue, but I think the government's going to make it an issue. And we got some other stuff to talk about, a lot of interesting stuff happening with the Freedom Convoy in terms of the government coming out and basically getting caught in the lie that they said that the police asked them to do this. Basically, CBC asked them to do that, so that's we're going to talk about that. But before we get into the news, just want to give you guys update on me. Been doing some awesome stand-up. We had two shows at the Royal Comedy Theater last week. Absolutely. Thank you so much to everybody who came. The early show was packed, and the late show was not because, of course, I continue to be censored. And Canadians are cheap. They don't want to spend the money. Maybe my tickets were too expensive. But look, I'm having a kid, folks. So, you know, and this is banned entertainment you're coming to see. Oh, $30. Yeah, well, you can't see this shit anywhere else. You can't see uncensored stand-up the way I do it most places, especially in terms of Canadian politics and stuff like that. So come support that. The Saturday show, I apologize to anybody who came to my Saturday show at the Comedy Bar because the organizers of the show had me headlining. People bought tickets to see me headline, but then I only was doing 15 minutes. They put on like eight comics before me. Was kind of ridiculous, but that's what happened. I'm sorry I only did 15 minutes. They were lighting me because, of course, it was Comedy Bar, and the guy who runs the light stuff doesn't probably like me, and there was a drag show after, so they had to do all that. So anybody who did that, message me. I'm going to give you guys free tickets to my next headlining show at the Royal. So if you're a listener of the podcast, you came to the show on Saturday for Cafe at Comedy Bar Saturday, I think it's May 21st, and you didn't get to see enough of my stand-up, I will give you some free tickets to my next Royal Comedy Theater show, folks. Let's jump into it. People are calling out Western University for using artwork of two women in hijabs kissing to promote their Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. Well, would you look at that, folks? Let's check this picture out. So it's there's two. Okay, there's a guy. There's a white guy making out with. I don't know. That's like a brown Peter Pan. I'm not really sure what that is. There's a fat Drake making out with a fatter black chick. Kind of vaguely looks like Candace Owens if she was morbidly obese. And then there's a transgender slash lesbian holding the hand of a crippled straight white male. I guess that's the old. Here's the straight white male in a wheelchair. And then, of course, I think the biggest issue somewhere between Peter Pan and these two Muslim women who are, of course, looks like they're about to make out. They have two. They both have hijabs on, and they're about to make out. And this was quite the issue. There's an article here. Western University LGBTQ poster sparks Muslim community backlash. A Western University social media post supporting the fight against homophobia, including an illustration of two women in hijabs about to kiss, sparking a backlash from London's Muslim community that forced school officials to delete it. Well, isn't that interesting, folks? And look, I love the Muslims, but what is it in our country that, so it's like, this is what we need, though. We need more people from the Muslim community and from any other, you know, BIPOC community to speak out against this wokeism, because it's the white people, they won't, if white people go, hey, I don't like that poster, they're like, too fucking bad. But the Muslims come out and they save the day. Western University social media post, blah, blah, blah. The image posted on the school's Instagram Tuesday to mark the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia was met with a firestorm of criticism from people who were offended by the imagery. Would you look at that? Offended by woke imagery. I love it. They said the post was inappropriate, disrespectful, because the hijab, an Islamic veil, has religious and spiritual connotations, wrote one person. Shame on you, Western University, for insulting mockery post to my religion. See, this is what's weird, though, is it's like, this is such a woke situation that the woke people are allowing themselves, they're canceling themselves for trying to do something that they thought was a good idea. And it would be cool if it was just like Muslims being like, yo, like, that's fucking gay. But instead they're like, oh, this is our religion. So then it's like, I don't know. Maybe they're just saying that because they know it works. Maybe the Muslim community is much better at canceling gays. This is great. Muslims trump gays. I love this. Understood how complex and intersectional this topic is, and that the imagery may be upsetting to some Muslims. But on Wednesday, a Western official who oversees equity, diversity, and inclusion issued a statement noting the image had been removed. We believe this presents an opportunity for genuine, thoughtful discussion about how we can best support members of the queer Muslim community and those from all faiths and backgrounds within the 2SLGBTQ+ community. They always fucking make it different. It's just ridiculous. Said Opio Oloya. Genderless name, I'm assuming. In order to promote the discussion, we have removed the image from the post to not distract from these important conversations. One Muslim community leader, Iman Abda Al-Fatah Twakal, said the London Muslim community was drafting response to the images, which he called inappropriate. They are. I mean, they're definitely inappropriate. Like, what? Who? Why do they have to do shit like this? We respect the human rights of everyone as protected under the Ontario Rights Bill, he said. While we appreciate that the intent is to promote inclusion, the poster is doing the opposite. Singling a Muslim religious symbol in that setting is inappropriate. No shit. And I think that's actually, honestly, good on the Muslims here. This is, I want to clap because they were just so, like, it's inappropriate. This is, it's inappropriate. We don't like it. And white people are like, okay, we went too far. Aloya, Upoya, Popoya is going to take it off. The poster also sparked a petition demanding the school remove the depiction of the Muslim women. Petition had more than 2,000 signatures. Look at that. They're organized. They're, Muslims are organized. The whites, not so much. It would be made clear that this is not an attack on the LGBT plus community, and the existence of queer Muslims is acknowledged, says the petition reads. What is portrayed is extremely disrespectful, insensitive, and completely imperceptive to the Muslim community at large. See, this is the thing. I am now going to post this because it's apparently it's offensive to somebody. And it, I mean, can we stop? We like, the thing is that they were trying to do a good thing. That's why it's offensive. It was a, if it was, if this was a com, this is, looks like a comedy poster. This looks like a poster for one of my comedy shows that I would be doing as a mockery to, you know, the movements. But it's, this is for real, folks. And this is also for real. Woke academics, of course, that's a oxymoron. Woke academics say the word obesity is racist, should be scrapped for larger bodies, which is nice. I want to be referred to as a larger bodied individual, then maybe you know, that you know, what is that going to do? You're not going to become more attractive by being called a larger person, and now you just sound like a fat midget. Close up side view of an overweight obese man, his big belly, black and white tone, poor nutrition, and increased risk of heart disease, says the picture. Some woke academics think the word obesity is racist. the University of Illinois Chicago School of Public Health, a place where people are shot every day, Chicago, but they're worried about obesity and being racist, published a health brief titled Addressing Weight Stigma and Fat Phobia in Public Health. That got into the association between racism, weight, and health. Amanda Montgomery said public health's focus on preventing obesity has brought in an increase of negative attitudes towards people with larger bodies. Her preferred description and is currently one of the only socially acceptable forms of discrimination, she claims. People with larger bodies. That's what she wants to call herself, because this is a person, Amanda Montgomery. Amanda Montgomery, that's a fat name. I got to admit, that's a fat name. The brief claims that public health approaches related to obesity can be harmful because of the focus on one outcome, weight loss, and because it tends to ignore the root cause of the issue, blah, blah, blah. I don't understand any of this. How is weight loss racist? Some may say that the causes are rooted in discrimination, born of settlers driving Native Americans off their land, then forcing Black and Hispanic workers to farm that land for low pay. The Daily Mail reported America is the fattest country in the Western world, with an estimated 40% of the people, or 138 million, being obese. It's followed by New Zealand, Canada, and Australia. We're all fat. Montgomery says Charles Darwin says fatness was used as a marker of uncivilized behavior, while thinness was more evolved, she wrote. This idea was maintained throughout the United States in the 19th and 20th centuries as a way to justify slavery, racism, classism, and control women through temperance. This ideology has perpetuated desirability politics, where thinness and whiteness are given more access to social, political. Yeah, well, okay, this is by a lot. Are these people idiots? Like, they really, Charles Darwin, you know, is wrong. But fat girl who goes to University of Illinois, some fat dummy, is somehow the one who's right in this scenario. I don't think that makes any sense at all. Just like this doesn't make a lot of sense. The closure of CBC's offices is part of Russian President Vladimir Putin's broader effort to control information to ensure the Russians only hear the views of the government, says Carleton University professor. Now, isn't this interesting? Because Trudeau did this immediately. As soon as the Ukraine war started, we banned RT, the Russian news. You can't get it on TV anymore. All their YouTube channels are banned. All the people who worked at the Western versions of those were fired. So lots of people lost their jobs, which, of course, you know, Trudeau doesn't care about. He loves when people lose their job. So now it's like, oh, Russia, months later, banned CBC. And it's like, how dare they? They want to control info. Guys, you are the ones doing that. We are literally becoming an authoritarian country that pretends that we're not, and then blames other countries for being authoritarian, just like every other authoritarian country. That's what Russia does. That's what all these countries do. Libya before the Libya. Libya, honestly, Libya pre-Obama sounds like I would have wanted to live there, to be honest. And now it's terrible. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, folks. Canada, here's another way we're going to get back at the Russians, to ban imports of Russian alcohol, names 14 oligarchs in new sanctions. I thought we had done that already. I thought we did that way early on. I don't really understand why they are trying to pretend like that we haven't done that. I'm pretty sure that we did do that. Less varieties of Russian alcohol in the country after Ottawa announced Friday will stop importing those products due to Moscow's war in Ukraine. The federal government also said it's slapping sanctions on 14 more individuals. Ottawa has now imposed sanctions on more than 1,000 individuals from Russia. Not only is Canada banning the imports of certain goods from Russia, but Ottawa is cutting off exports to the nation as well. Oh, no, we're not going to be able to sell them maple syrup and beaver tails or whatever the fuck. You know, it's not like we export gas or anything. The federal government is banning the export of targeted luxury goods, including alcoholic beverage, tobacco, some textile products, sportswear, footwear, luxury clothing. What the fuck? What luxury clothing are we getting from Russia? Together, these categories represented 75.7 million worth of goods. I mean, this is petty. It's stupid. Like, it doesn't seem real. Trudeau went to Kiev on Mother's Day. It doesn't seem like it was that dangerous. I pointed at one building that was destroyed. Didn't look that bad. Ontario woman says daughter was discriminated against over face mask. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And then you read that and you click it because you're like, wow, was it because she wasn't wearing a mask? Obviously, I think it was that she was. An Ontario woman believes her daughter was discriminated against after she was allegedly kicked out of a local activity center over her choice to wear a face mask. Good. I mean, Jane Bedford says she was signed an 11-year-old up for a series of classes called Ninja Warrior Parkour at Discipline Wrestling in Ancaster. Where the fuck is Ancaster? I don't know. Bedford told CTV News Toronto she paid $260 for a pack of 8 sessions at the gym, which featured monkey bars, monkey pox. Teresa Tam, here's the connection, children wearing masks, swinging ropes, trampolines for the students to navigate through. She said her daughter attended and enjoyed the first session masked in the indoor facility without issue, noting that the owner of the gym was not present at the time. 2 weeks later, the mother and daughter went for session number 2 with their masks on. Said they were greeted by the owner. Oh, you don't have to wear a mask here, Bedford recalled the owner saying. Bedford said the owner suggested that due to the physicality of the class, her child should be unmasked during the session, which is probably true. Bedford said she explained to the owner that her daughter has already participated in a class with a mask on and that it was in her preference to wear the mask. Of course, it's in your daughter's preference, even though you're the one saying it and she's 11 and you're fucking 45. And she said, no, you can't. You have to take it off, Bedford said. I said, I don't think you're legally allowed to tell us to take the mask off. And then he said, I am, and you can get out, and showed us the door. Good. And that's, guess what, folks? This is when the left argues. They go, it's a private business. They can tell you to put your mask on if they want to. So why can't a private business say, hey, actually, you know what? You're mask people. We know the whole deal here. You got your 11-year-old in a mask. You're voting jag meat. Get the fuck out of here. This is fucking ninja parkour. Get the fuck out of here. And I don't blame them. And whose fault is that? That's the kid's fault? Now the kid is exposed on fucking CB. Imagine how much of a loser parent you have to do to call CTV. I have a story for you. I wasn't allowed to. Ugh. Awful. She said she left aghast, and her daughter, who was present during the interaction, was scared by being spoken to in such a stern manner by a stranger. Oh, my goodness. This is fucking pathetic. Bedford and her daughter are indigenous. I'm sorry, folks. This story is fake. I want proof that this isn't. Where's the video? Where's the interview with this woman? This has got to be an indigenous woman who preferred to wear a mask, was kicked out by an angry white man. This is exactly like the fake stories that people tweet where they're like, oh my God, the mask mandate was lifted and then somebody came up to me and screamed MAGA country and it's like, this is like Jussie Smollett shit. This is bullshit. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I apologize, but I'm not wrong. We talked about her ancestors and how discrimination happens. So this woman gets discriminated because she's a woke individual who... People who run certain businesses in small towns have had enough of this shit, okay? Take the fucking mask off. Now she uses this as an opportunity to talk about racism and discrimination of her ancestors with her 11-year-old. So now her 11-year-old is going to be racist. And it just got to her and matter. Now Bedford is trying to get her money back for the outstanding classes she purchased, but alleges the company is ignoring her. No shit. Moreover, she wants an apology. I really just want them to apologize to my daughter. I want her to realize that there are repercussions for discrimination. Discipline Wrestling did not respond to CTV News Toronto request for comment. Should we just call these guys? I want to call these guys because this seems insane. 226-289-683-9280. They're probably not open. You think they're open?
Hello.
Hey there. Is this Discipline Wrestling?
No, you got the wrong number.
I wanted to shout you guys out for what you did. I think it was awesome. But I just wanted to see.
Are you kidding, buddy? Really?
I'm serious. I swear to God. And yeah. But my question is, because like I stand for, I know these people are crazy. But I read this article. Is this this has got to be fake. They must have made this shit up to some extent. Am I wrong?
I'm a
comedian. My name's Ben Bankus. I make fun of Teresa Tam all the time. Maybe you've seen some of my videos online. And
what's your name, buddy?
Ben Bankus. Yeah,
I'll search it. Are you in the Toronto circuit?
Yeah, I'm a Toronto comedian.
So
okay.
Do you know Curtis Wilson?
Maybe. I don't know. Is that an online black, guy or a stand-up?
Black guy, Rasta guy. He's on the scene. Anyways, no big deal.
Possibly. He probably knows who I am. My Instagram's at BenBankus2. But I'm reading this article, and I'm just... they're saying this woman came in and you were stern and scared. This is bullshit. It's so fake. It's unbelievable. And
so
then
we run an intense gym here. We have like Olympic level wrestlers, and we run a Ninja Warrior program. You're familiar with like Ninja Warrior from TV?
For sure. It's like, yes.
So our ninja class, the equipment is at heights. There's swings and rings and ropes, and there's climbing and jumping and flipping and all that involved, right? So never, ever, ever through the whole time has anyone been allowed to wear a mask when they're training.
Right.
So we've had issues with some people that, you know, got upset, obviously, and that's why this person, I think, showed up. So they were adamant that they had paid like 3 years ago or 2.5 years ago before this, right? And we did honor and credit everyone, but we had no record of them paying. So I said, yeah, you know, whatever, right? Let them have a few classes, no big deal, right?
Right.
And then they came in with the masks on. Right.
So they came in first, or did they call in, or did they come in maskless, get the sessions, and then come in with masks on?
Oh, when they did, I don't know. They probably talked to someone else.
Right.
It was over the phone. It was over the phone, and then they showed up. They showed up with masks on, and they said they had been here and taken part in a class, which is not possible because no one's ever been on the mat with a mask on.
Wow.
Not in the workout. And then they and the reason I think it was a setup is because she was very, very prepared to discuss that it was against her human rights, right?
Right.
And we're talking. I know they played the native card,
right?
But they were, you know, they were both ginger. And,
you're kidding me. This is exactly what I knew. That I read this article. Listen, this is what I do
And I'm not saying.
There's no ginger native.
There are ginger natives, right?
Sure.
Because we have to be careful, right?
I'm sure there are somewhere.
There are. So we've been, our lawyer, like, we haven't talked to anybody yet. They're all reaching out now. All the other, like, our local stations and people have reached out. I may talk to Rebel News, but only if they're going to come in here and do a good job on it.
You know? You guys have security footage to show that they were never there? Because that would be incredible.
Security? Well, no, I won't have the show that they were never here over 3 years. What do you mean?
No, because you said that they came in, they were like, we want to do a class, and then they alleged that they did a class with a mask on. But you might have proof that they actually either did a class with a mask off or never did a class.
Yeah, no, I don't have video footage of that.
Right.
But yeah, that would be good.
Well, anyway, thank you for talking to me. You know, like
Ben,
I said,
can you spell your name for me, bud?
It's BenBankas. Okay. And I've been on Rebel News. I worked for Rebel News. I would talk to them. And I think, you know, this is just this just proves that when I read these articles that and I know they're fake and I'm like, there's no way. This is just a normal occurrence that it's like happened to be an angry white man and it's an indigenous woman and the kid was scared. I wouldn't be surprised if these people work for CBC or friends of
a
journalist.
It's a setup for sure. It's a setup
right.
for sure. And they're, you know, I don't know the exact details, but, and the reason I was like that on the phone, buddy, I got like 100 phone calls, lots of threats. I'm okay with the threats. I would really love them to show up, but.
No, I knew that. I knew you were like, no, wrong number, because you probably thought I was going to be like, you piece of shit, you and your business should be closed. You shouldn't have a job. And that's what's sick about this. And it's like,
I've got 50 emails calling me a Nazi and a racist. And yeah,
I'd love look, I'm funny. Send me the emails. Message me on Instagram. It's BenBankus2. And appreciate talking to you, man. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Okay.
All right.
Stay strong. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. There you fucking have it, folks. There you fucking have it. Literally knew it. I knew it, and I'm smart, and this is what I know, that when I read these articles, and you're like, oh, I don't know, it sounds fake, but maybe it's real. These are setups, folks. Diesel-powered trucks and trains and ships that support our supply chains. Moving on. That was great. Thank you to Discipline Wrestling. I know I didn't really get his permission to be on the podcast. Hopefully he's not mad about it. If he is, I mean, look, I agree with him, and it's bullshit. So, you know, the government trying to just destroy a business because they don't like the guy is just, you know, it's typical. It's typical of an authoritarian country. Diesel powers the trucks, trains, and ships that support our supply chains. Its price has nearly doubled in the last year. That could drive up the price of almost everything we buy. Is that going to double the price of ninja classes without the mask? Because that's what I'm worried about. And here's another one. Canadians love their cars so much that high fuel prices won't make the most of us change our ways. No shit. Which is why I think it's ridiculous that they're doing the high fuel prices, because it's a necessity, folks. It's honestly, somebody needs to speak out about cigarettes. Can somebody, like Pierre Poilievre, needs to come out and say, look, we're taking the price of cigarettes back to like fucking $7 a pack. Oh no, people are going to smoke. Let us smoke. I mean, we're smoking anyway. We're stressed out from the terrible disaster of a country that you've allowed us to live in. And now we're paying $20 a pack of cigarettes. This is not, it's not sustainable. I mean, if Pierre could get the cigarettes down to $7-$8, that would, I mean, he would just win the election. And that would be a great way to win an election, because Trudeau won on weed, and now Pierre should win on darts. That would be a very Canadian way to go. Now, here's some interesting news about the convoy that happened in February. Ottawa police say they didn't ask for the Emergencies Act as Liberals defend its use. Isn't that nice? So Ottawa police say they didn't ask for the Emergencies Act, with another police chief saying they didn't ask. Liberal cabinet ministers are continuing to insist the move was necessary to clear the Freedom Convoy, which obviously it was not. The convoy protests blocked large swaths of Ottawa. We know that. Speaking to the committee on Tuesday, Conservative MP Andrew Scheer asked Ottawa Police Chief Steve Bell if he had asked directly for the government to invoke the Emergencies Act. Bell said they didn't ask for the act. We were involved in conversations with our partners and with political ministries. We didn't make a direct request for the Emergencies Act. Bell said no buildings were seized by the group, but also told Scheer he shouldn't minimize what happened. Wow. The guy who's on trials, don't minimize what happened. Fuck off. That wasn't part of what we saw. We did see was we actually saw the streets occupied with the trucks, with vehicles, with people that were terrorizing our community. By doing what? Being white and from Alberta? It's important that we try not to minimize the impact. Everything's about don't minimize, normalize, minimize. Bell is the second police officer to official to confirm his force didn't ask for the invocation of Emergencies Act after RCMP Commissioner Brenda Luckey revealed the same detail last week to another parliamentary committee studying the invocation of the act. Public Safety Minister Marco Mendicino said police forces told them they needed powers to protect, powers contained within the act. We explored specific examples of what these powers might look like and sought the advice of law enforcement. They gave us feedback on precisely what those powers were, and following the advice, we invoked the Emergencies Act. So they're like, what can you do? They're like, well, I don't know, we could shut it down. They're like, okay, let's fucking do it. It's a fucking mob. It's fucking Trudeau Mafia, okay? Mendicino said in an interview, police forces were overwhelmed by, and he highlighted, overwhelmed. I don't know why. Yeah, was that when they stomped out the lady? The hillbilly in the, I think it was a native, actually. Speaking of natives, I think there was a native woman that they trampled, but they never want to talk about that. They just go, oh, she wasn't trampled. Well, that wasn't a horse. You're not a biologist. Overwhelmed, and he highlighted a letter from the Canadian Association of Chiefs of Police that spoke to the need of the act. This was unprecedented in terms of what this was in the way of a public order emergency. Like, unprecedented means no other example. What the fuck does that? This was unprecedented in terms of what this was in the way of public order emergency. No shit. The question of what, and this wasn't a public emergency, folks. The question of what happens to the precinct now that the convoy has left is supposed to be the committee's main focus. Some have already called for the federal government to take over Wellington Street. Federal government to take over Wellington Street. So we're going to have policing and security. So now Wellington Street is going, just like in fucking Cuba or in Russia, they're going to have Canadian troops on Wellington Street in Ottawa. It's going to be policed not by the city, but by the government. Totally normal. National Post. Nothing to see here, folks. Months after the convoy left, Wellington Street is still closed to most traffic, with only House of Commons vehicles and deliveries available on the route. Bell said if the street is transferred to the federal government, there will be a clear lines of authority and rules for cooperation. Long before the convoy, Ottawa police have used dump trucks and large snow plows to act as barriers. Bell said it's time for a less ad hoc approach. There are several infrastructure investments like bollards around streets that can easily limit the movement of vehicles through different areas that I would hope would be a key, an important part of this. They're literally trying to create a fucking fortress around Trudeau. This is insanity. The government is planning a massive redevelopment of several buildings across from Parliament Hill, eventually moving some MPs and senators into new offices there. She said Wellington Street has long been the border between Parliament and the rest of Ottawa, but this after this change, it will essentially cut right through it. She didn't reveal a specific opinion on the issue of expanding the precinct. Of course, government bigger, bigger government. Trudeau spreads misinformation after cops say they didn't ask for Emergencies Act. So, continuing on this topic, what did Trudeau say? From the descriptions of the convoy to the invocation of the Emergencies Act, Trudeau and his team have consistently lied to the Canadian public. No shit. Thank you for saying this, Toronto Sun. You can think the people involved in the protests were heroes or the worst people on earth. It should still bother you that our government has lied consistently. Did Ottawa police make a request to the federal government to invoke the Emergencies Act? And of course they said no. This comes the week after RCMP Commissioner Brenda Luckey also told the committee while the RCMP made up most of the powers to act, the act gave police, she didn't ask. So nobody asked. They're lying. Cops asked for the Emergency Act, false. A large part of the convoy donations came from outside of Canada, false. Guns were stored in vehicles, false. Convoy protesters started a fire in Ottawa apartment building, false. Russians were involved in organizing the protests, false. Those are all things that were said by our, of course, our state-run media here in beautiful Canada. Stories like these, often pushed by the Prime Minister's office, cycled through friendly media outlets while then used to justify invoking the Emergencies Act. The government actually cited CBC's false reporting that the majority of donors to the convoy were American in the report to Parliament on why they invoked the Emergencies Act. Folks, this is what authoritarian, I'm not even going to say it, but you know it. This is the reality. While appearing before the House of Commons Committee investigating the issue, both GoFundMe and GiveSendGo debunked the idea that the majority of funding came from outside of Canada. The Ottawa police have charged someone with arson for the apartment fire, and there were no links to the convoy. There were no guns found in vehicles when police cleared the streets. There is no evidence of Russia organizing the convoy, folks. So this is the world that we live in. This is the video of the question that we're talking about.
One final question. Did the Ottawa police make a request to the federal government to invoke the Emergencies Measures Act, yes or no?
So we were involved in conversations with our partners and with the political ministries. We didn't make a direct request for the Emergencies Act.
And there you have it, folks. But of course, Tamara Leach, who's alleged to be the, you know, convoy leader, one of the organizers, still in jail, I believe, or they want her to go back to jail. I think she was out. Now she's Crown asking judge to revoke Tamara Leach bail, alleging continued Freedom Convoy support. How can she support something that's not happening? Crown prosecutors are seeking to revoke bail for Tamara Leach and send her back to jail, alleging she breached the conditions of her initial release by continuing to participate in causes related to the Freedom Convoy. The application filed by Assistant Crown Attorney Moaz Karimji comes in advance of Leach's scheduled appearance in the Ottawa courtroom. Her lawyer, Lawrence Greenspun, at least she got a Jew, was expected to challenge the conditions that currently limit Leach's access to social media. It is not entirely clear how the Crown's latest application will impact the hearing. A poster advertising the event, which Leach's name featured prominently, was included in the Crown's application. Leach inspired Canadians to exercise their charter rights and freedoms by participating actively in the democratic process and took the initiative to help organize a peaceful protest and serve as one of its leaders. The advertisement reads, Miss Leach has suffered for the cause of freedom by spending 18 days unjustly jailed and exemplifies courage, determination, and perseverance. That, according to the Crown, constitutes a breach of the bail conditions that order Leach not to verbally, in writing, financially, or by other means support anything related to the Freedom Convoy. This is our justice system, folks. Leach's alleged participation in the upcoming gala event represents a material change in circumstance. Tickets to the event cost $200, while VIP access will cost $500, according to Crown. The price discrepancy indicates that it is the only reasonable interference that Ms. Leach has agreed to attend this event in support of the event. The Crown will also seek to review Leach's initial release order, arguing that there were errors in law made by Superior Court Justice John Johnson, who rendered the decision to release Leach under strict supervision on March 7th. How dare he allow her to be free? Johnson erred, according to the Crown arguments, where he suggested Bourgeois, his fellow judge, committed an error by failing to consider the objective gravity of the offense and the focus of the impact. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Focus on the impact. Crown wants Freedom Convoy. Tamara Lynch returned to jail. Same article, different people. Tamara Lynch's lawyer said she wants to be able to contact her 94-year-old grandmother by social media. I mean, that's, she's obviously making that up because nobody wants to talk to their 94-year-old grandma. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe they do. I don't know. Playing devil's advocate a little today. I didn't do a lot of devil's advocate because I agree. This is just crazy today. It's crazy. Ottawa professor files. Wait, we haven't even gotten to the monkeypox shit. So if you want to fast forward to monkeypox, if you're listening to this, not the live stream, you can't because I haven't said it yet. Ottawa professor files private criminal prosecution against Doug Ford for removing a mask in quarantine. I kind of love this one. When the Ontario premier took off his mask to speak at a funding announcement in Ottawa on March 25th, he broke the law, says Amira Tehran. Unbelievable. An Ottawa law professor has filed a private criminal prosecution against progressive leader Doug Ford for breaking federal quarantine law during a press conference. Is this for real? This is hilarious. The private prosecution went before a justice of the peace in Ottawa Tuesday morning. She approved the charge, asking a series of questions, set a court date for September, said Ottawa professor Amira Tehran, who filed the private prosecution. Ford, in his capacity as Ontario premier, was at the civic campus of the Ottawa Hospital on March 25th to make a hospital funding announcement. He took off his mask to speak at a microphone and defend his government's decision to end most mask mandates. By doing so, Ford broke the law, according to Adiran and Jacob Shelley, who are health law professors at UOttawa and Western University. Ooh, he broke the law. He took his mask off. Since the premier had met with the officials in Washington, D.C. on March 21, he was required to wear a mask whenever in public, whenever in a public place for 14 days after returning to Canada, according to the emergency's order. Wow. Adiran noted 5,000 Ontario residents were charged for violating quarantine laws during 6 months of 2021 alone. The law, he said, applies to everyone. I agree. This guy's a baller. Again, the Muslims. I believe this guy's Muslim, Adiran. I don't know. I could be wrong. But coming through. Coming through big for Canada. True patriotism. Cancel these fucking losers. Cancel anybody if they, you know, this is good. This is good. Ford was not able, not the only public official who spoke, Ford was not the only public official who publicly broke federal quarantine rules. No shit. They argued that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, Ontario's chief medical officer of health, Dr. Kieran Moore, also failed to wear masks while in public during a period where they were required to under the Quarantine Act. Amazing. As health professors of health law, we have no doubt these three acted illegally. Clap. Big claps for you fellas there. Trudeau, having traveled to Belgium on March 24th, removed his mask while making a keynote speech at the Globe Forum 2022 in Vancouver on March 29th. Look at that. According to Adiran and Shelley and Moore, after vacationing in the Caribbean. Oh, isn't that nice that our top doctor here in Ontario makes, you know, 100 times more than anybody else, and he gets to go on a Caribbean vacation while everybody's in lockdown, spoke at a press conference without a mask. Good on these guys. Adiran, you're the man. Earlier this year, Adiran gained access to Moderna COVAX for his children after filing a human rights complaint against Ottawa Public Health, which had initially offered Pfizer doses to children. Moderna, which is approved by Health Canada, has since been made available to children 6 to 11. So maybe this guy's not that cool. He's suing people because he didn't get a vax for his kid, too. So I don't know what to say about that. Pierre Poilievre listens to The Alienated. His unhinged critics can't handle that. This is a good article. I don't know if I want to get too into it. We know what it's about. Everybody is mad at Jordan or at Pierre for going on Jordan's podcast as well. He's given a license to what we saw play out in Peterborough, the people mimicking Mr. Poilievre's plaintive call for freedom. What Mr. Poilievre is doing is not only dangerous, but shameful. It's hard to even know where to begin with this, pointing out how silly his argument is. feels goofy because it should be obvious, but Mason captures what passes for much of the criticism leveled against Pierre Poilievre, namely that he's not only wrong for over the top, but he's dangerous harbinger of violence. This is crazy, folks. I mean, if you listen to Pierre Poilievre on Jordan Peterson's podcast, you'll know that he is pretty much a good dude. And he has, I think, for the most part, at least he's very good at conveying it, and I believe him more than other politicians. And I know you can shit on me and say he's World Health, he's W, fine, but at least he's saying something. It would be a step in the right direction. This ignores the fact that angry conspiracy-addled protesters long predate Poilievre's leadership campaign and have been increasingly common throughout the pandemic. As Mason notes himself, rocks were thrown at Trudeau. Rocks. They weren't rocks. They were pebbles. They were gravel. Anti-vaccine protesters have proven to be especially stubborn, driven, as some of them are, by disproven or wild theories about vastly exaggerated side effects and imagined global plots to either depopulate the Earth or inject trafficking devices into everyone. Now, with that being said, here is a video that you need to watch and listen to.
It is a basically biological chip that it is in the tablet. And once you take the tablet and dissolves into your stomach, sends a signal that you took the tablet. So imagine the applications of that, compliance, the insurance companies to know that the medicines that patients should take, they do take them. It is fascinating what happens in this field.
So there you have it, folks. The so-called conspiracy theory, called a conspiracy theory by the National Post, is, here's Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla explaining that conspiracy theory in true sense. And this is what annoys me, too, is like, even with the National Post, they'll be like, OK, we're going to defend Poilievre, but remember that we're on the left, too. Like, it's like, you can only be, if you want to defend Poilievre, you have to be voting for Trudeau or something. Like, there's some fucked up thing going on with this. I hate it. Poilievre faces backlash for comments on Jordan Peterson podcast. Conservative leadership candidate Pierre Poilievre uses the phrase Anglo-Saxon words on a podcast has drawn attention from some who consider them the term divisive, but the comment is also being defended by supporters who say he was only expressing a preference for clearer language. I'm a believer in using simple Anglo-Saxon words that strike right at the meaning and trying to convey. This is what he got him in trouble for, saying that he wanted to say simple white people words. That is basically these phrases. These are phrases that are part of our culture, by the skin of your teeth, you know, on the edge of your seat. I don't know. That's what he means. Anglo-Saxon words tend to be shorter and sharper than the Latinate words, tweeted Alberta conservative Garnet Genius, who was not formally endorsed as a leadership candidate. Many writers and speakers know that when considering word choice. It's a way to basically set apart from those who are white in Canada, who are white Anglo-Saxon from everyone else, and certainly the racialized segment of society. Fareed Khan, the founder of Canadians United Against Hate. Bullshit. If you're fucking Canadian, you're Canadian. These are Anglo-Saxon words. That's just how it is. It's not a hateful thing to want to speak in a way that isn't fucking confusing, to want to speak in a way that isn't lies like Trudeau. There's an end game. It's called depopulation of the Caucasian race, or the Anglo-Saxon, King said in a live stream. And that's what the goal is, to depopulate the Anglo-Saxon race. Poilievre's comments on economics are drawing criticism, too. In a conservative leadership debate in Edmonton last week, Poilievre stated he would fire the governor of the central bank if he became prime minister. A conservative MP has said that the remark is worrisome. I'm deeply troubled by suggestions by one of our leadership candidates that the candidate would be prepared to interfere already at this stage in the independence of our central bank. Guess what, folks? That's bullshit. We talked about this last time. The central bank is in with Trudeau. They're printing him money so he can do a bunch of bullshit. It's bullshit. Conservatives want Canada to revert to pre-pandemic travel rules. Good. I see that as a good thing. I don't know why. You know, they're trying to spin it again, spin it and spin it. It's bad. And here's why it's bad. It's because violent extremists in Canada have the intent and capability to commit acts of terrorism. But detecting attacks by lone actors or small groups before they happen is difficult, says a federal government threat assessment. So, you know, things like Anglo-Saxon words, apparently, and wanting no restrictions on flights is white supremacy. A duty to reject conspiracy theories about white replacement. Isn't it funny that before the Buffalo attack, I'd never heard of white replacement theory. I'd never heard of it. It's pure ignorance to believe that this dogma doesn't exist in Canada. While campaigning in the Greater Toronto Area in the lead up to the 2015 election, I knocked on a door and an older white woman opened. After my opening spiel, she looked for confirmation. So you're with the Tories? After I answered in the affirmation, she let me have it. Harper let so many brown people in here that none of you deserve to win. You've replaced us with them. Canada is ruined. This was not the first or the last time I had to counter the particular racist diatribe. Now, but this is the thing. It is racist in the sense, but it's like, at what point are we, we're de-incentivizing white people to have kids. We're telling white people to not have kids. But like, if you're brown and you have 10 kids, it's like acceptable. That's the issue. And I'm saying that this woman, the random woman that this guy knocked on a door, maybe she's not right. She's definitely not right, but she's angry about something. It is a core tenet of the so-called Great Replacement Theory, an anti-Semitic white nationalist conspiracy theory. Of course, they think that the Jews did it. The narrative it usually follows is the immigration policy of Western countries is designed to replace whites or to outbreed them in order to prevent whites from getting jobs, dominating culture, or electing a pro-white government. It is racism built on longstanding colonial white nationalism dogma that never truly erased. This National Post, this is supposed to be a right-wing thing. And this is dangerous. Sentiment is mainstreamed, having proliferated in online forums. A poll released this month by Associated Press NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research, showed that 32% of Americans believe that a group of people is trying to replace native-born Americans with immigrants for electoral gains. Now, I don't know if this is true, and I definitely don't think it's... Look, I like being in Toronto where it's less whites. I don't want all whites. We don't want all whites. But I think what the issue should be is, let's just all be Canadian. Like, let's figure out what Canadian culture is. Is it Anglo-Saxon? Is it not? Is it Indian? So we all have to be Indian if you're good. There should be some culture that we're all striving for. Canada is not a melting pot. It's divide and conquer. It's very obvious that they do that. They segregate people, the Indians in Brampton, the Asians in Markham. You know, it's mixed in most areas, but not that much. So let's just all be Canadian and stop being like, oh, he's... Honestly, most people who I meet who are not white have a way better sense of humor than any white people. All the white people I meet are woke. So why do we even want to populate with white people? If we have a hope in hell, it's our Muslim and brown and Asian and black and all other color friends that are going to save this country because the whites are done. So this whole white replacement, and they're trying to push this narrative that, oh, white people are racist and they want the Indians out. And they go, oh, when I was knocking on doors, it's another one of these setups. They knocked on a door. How do we know that this is true? We don't. There's no video evidence. So my point is that the brown people, like, you know, that we the Muslims canceling, they don't want to see this shit. They want some traditionalism. They want, you know, people come to this country because there are some Christian traditions that they see as beneficial, which is why people want to immigrate to Christian countries. Okay, that's just it. And I know it's a native country originally, and that's the woke argument. Well, it's not a Christian country, it's a native country. So what, you want to go back to savagery and killing each other based on tribal things, and let's go live in tents? I mean, that makes no sense either. Okay, Christianity won. It's the year 2022, year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get over it. Okay, we need to get over it. We already watched that. CDC said the rate of reports of myocarditis in 5 to 11-year-old boys after the second dose was 2.7 cases per million. That compares with 48.1 cases per million in 12 to 15-year-old males. So that's, I mean, it's not a lot. It's not great. It's not good. Bad. Nobody should be having that. They said there's no side effects. They lied. That's the problem. They lie. That's the issue. Canadian retailers impose limits on baby formula purchases amid shortage. So now we have this problem here. We got Bill Gates working on it. Luckily, Bill Gates received $3.5 million in investor money for his lab-made baby milk startup. Then the Gates Foundation paid The Guardian $3.5 million. Immediately, The Guardian published a hit piece criticizing breastfeeding as bad for mom's mental health. How horrible it is to breastfeed, a natural thing that we've been doing for tens of thousands of years, but now some fat nerd who likes hanging out at Epstein Island is going to make your baby milk for you. Isn't that nice? This past week, another thing that happened, Alberta Premier Jason Kenney has announced he is resigning. So I don't know I haven't looked into a lot of that. I think I think part of it is because he imposed the lockdowns. He feels bad. He wants to get out of there. I don't blame him. It's fucking sketchy being in politics right now. It's just evil in Canada. So good on him for quitting, because he should have never done the lockdowns. He didn't want to do the lockdowns. He wanted to be open and free, and he's probably realized that he should have stuck to his fucking guns. Good news, everyone. They approved a vaccine for monkeypox a month before COVID hit. Isn't that great? So here's a bunch of articles. I'm not going to get to, but you know, Canada reports up to 13 suspected cases of monkeypox. That's on the 18th, 4 days ago. First case of rare monkeypox in the U.S. was someone who recently traveled to Canada. That's also on the 18th. Quebec confirms 2 cases of monkeypox, 20 other suspected cases under investigation. That's on the 19th. And then on the 20th, Canada now a global center of the broadening monkeypox outbreak, which seems to me a little insane. Canada, we do not have to panic. It is not something you can acquire in a grocery store or on a public transportation. That's what they said with COVID. They said that. Remember Theresa Tam? She came out, don't go on the cruise ship. You'll be fine. As long as you don't go in the crowded cruise ship, you'll be fine. You don't need to wear a mask. And then she was wrong, or she was right, but she lied, or whatever the fuck happened. We don't know. With 17 suspected cases under investigation in Montreal, Canada is now one of the centers of expanding global monkeypox outbreak that has health officials scrambling. Monkeypox scrambling over 17 people in Quebec, of course. Monkeypox, which is the same viral family as smallpox, was discovered in 1958 and is rarely seen in significant numbers outside of Central and West Africa. And in recent weeks, through a growing number of countries in Europe beyond reported clusters of monkeypox cases, Canada is now among them. Great. Of course, we're always the center of every horrible thing now. The province is asking anyone who is concerned about symptoms they are experiencing to immediately contact health professional. What are the symptoms? Do we even know? Monkeypox is rare but not unheard of outside of parts of Africa where rodents act as reservoirs, University of Ottawa virologist Earl Brown said, but the clusters of cases being seen around the world is highly unusual. It's almost like somebody might have spread it on purpose. Canada now a global center of broadening monkeypox outbreak on another news site. Canada health officials to hold update amid cases of monkeypox. Theresa Tam, our best friend Theresa Tam, is going to give a federal update on the Friday morning. And weird that, of course, that video is coming out on Monday. My version of the video. Canada's public health considering monkeypox vaccination in Quebec. It's all on the May 20th. That's 2 days ago. May 20th, Canada considering smallpox vaccine for monkeypox. Now, May 21st, the World Health Organization working on more monkeypox guidance as cases rise. So that's great. And we have our whole bunch of idiots out there in Davos trying to figure out how to give all of our rights away to the World Health Organization so they can kill our dogs for the next pandemic. Health officials in several countries have warned that monkeypox cases could rise further as major summer gatherings and festivals. That's on the 21st. 21st, Toronto is investigating its first suspected monkeypox. Unbelievable how quickly this is. Within 4 days. Now, this is 4 days later, May 22nd. How concerned should we be about monkeypox? And obviously, I retweeted that saying, not at all. But this is a great article. I urge you to read it. You can just search the title of it. Kinsella, our freedoms once again under attack by the federal liberals. I'm not going to read it. But it's a great article, and I think the Toronto Sun is publications that's putting out the articles that aren't far left propaganda. We're forced to submit to a system that abuses and discards us. This is now these are some fun little things before I get out of here. This is from a transgender prisoner saying that they're forced to submit to a system that abuses and discards us. I mean, you're in jail. For gender diverse people in the Canadian prison system, the act of keeping a low profile can be the difference between life and death. But for those who are visibly queer or transgender, the situation is much more volatile and they have become targets of violence and abuse. The capture a full picture of what's happening inside these institutions. CTV News has reviewed hundreds of court documents and spoke with several people in the Canadian prison system who are transgender, non-binary, and two-spirit. Their accounts contain distressing details. This is prison. Everybody's getting raped in prison. Prison's abusing legal loophole. When Erica Wilson was sentenced to 16 years in prison for drug trafficking in 2016, it did not come as much of a shock to her. Previously served time in Canada and California, where she was incarcerated for drug-related crimes. So now what? We're supposed to feel bad for... Oh, my God. Here's Erica Wilson. I'm sure she did no raping of herself. For Wilson's lawyers, this came as a surprise because in 2017, Correctional Service Canada adopted an interim policy that outlines how federal prisons should manage offenders with gender identity or expression considerations. Thank goodness. Part of the policy states that CSC has a duty to accommodate based on gender identity or expression, regardless of the person's anatomy, sex, or the gender marker on identification documents. The policy, however, includes a caveat. It goes on to say that requests relating to gender identity or expression will be accommodated unless they are overriding health or safety concerns, which cannot be resolved. This is crazy, folks. Why? Look how long this article is. Look how, like, photo of transgender rights advocate Mocha Dawkins, who was formerly incarcerated in a men's prison. Wasn't she having the time of her life? I mean, I don't understand. Here's another woke pussy argument. Victoria Day ignites debate over fireworks effects on animals PTSD victims. So now, obviously, you can't even do fireworks because your dog's going to get scared. I don't want to be a curmudgeon that sits here and says you can't have fun, Trisholm told CTV News Atlantic Week. The problem is that fun comes at a cost to others. Listen to this, folks. Fun comes at a cost to others. You having fun equals somebody else having a bad time, which I like. Many dog and cat owners have observed their pet hiding in fear whenever the sound of fireworks can be heard. Oh my goodness, people's pets. We can't celebrate anything. We can't have any traditions because of pets are too afraid of fireworks. But for the owners of livestock, the consequences can be even more dire. After a horse in Canning, Nova Scotia, broke its leg after panicking on New Year's Eve. I mean, this is such a fucking bullshit. The news is just, it's unbelievable. I'm so happy that I've been doing this for so many weeks now. Because this is pure, this is an expose of bullshit. We talked to the guy from Discipline Wrestling. We found out that was bullshit. Two ginger people saying they're native. I mean, it's insane. Fireworks can also cause significant disruptions for wildlife, particularly birds. We estimate that hundreds of thousands of birds of the Netherlands take flight due to the fireworks. And in the UK, British media outlets at the Royal Society of Prevention of Cruelty Animals reported that last November, a terrified deer had smashed off its own antlers after fleeing the sound of fireworks. Folks, we've been doing fireworks for thousands of years, I'm pretty sure. So let's just keep doing it. Sorry to the deer. We're going to sacrifice a couple deer and a couple birds and a couple loser cat moms in this fight. And of course, Elon Musk, before we get out of here, was targeted because he wants to create a platform for free speech. In addition to allegedly exposing himself, Elon Musk supposedly rubbed the flight attendant's thigh and offered to buy her a horse, which, folks, if you bought her a horse, just please don't do any fireworks. We don't want that horse to break its leg. Okay. Toronto experienced sharp increase in opioid overdose deaths in 2021. No surprise there. The city's shit, and we let it go to shit, and we've made everything shit. Toronto Mayor John Tory says he has written a letter to the Ontario and federal governments over concerns at an alarming increase in brazen carjackings. Of course, so now we have an increase in opioid deaths and carjackings, which means that the government is doing a great job, folks. That's what this means. That's what it means. It's a liberal city. There's Muslims two women in hijabs kissing on a poster. Isn't that great? And everybody's getting carjacked and dying of overdose. Great. But even though you're going to get carjacked, apparently van living is booming in Canada, according to the National Post. So if you want to get, you don't want to live in a house, but you don't want to get carjacked, you kind of don't have a choice. You got to live in a van. At the onset of the pandemic, Eric Cahoe, 32, and had his van stationed at the Rocky Mountains. Oh, it's one of these guys. Fuck these people. Honestly, I love you all for watching. We have a ton of people who probably over 100 people tuned in throughout. And it's been a fun-ass time. People, I'm just going to read before I get out of here some of the comments. First live might be because I have no power and bored as fuck. Lol. Good aft. Good for him. Although, to be fair, ninjas do wear masks. That's hilarious. Look into Bill C-100. Bill C-100 was passed in Ontario. They now can seize your bank accounts and private property if you protest. Great. Barry says, don't forget to tell him you are on air. Legal. Well, shit. Wowzers Ben, this is amazing. Shout out to Discipline Wrestling. Do Rebel News. Lincoln J. Buy cigarettes on the reserve. Let's go, Castro. Lich's Med T. There you go. Ben, you rocked in the Misunderstood podcast. Thank you very much. You can't get monkeypox from people. Great. You need to do some more Tam videos, dude. More Tam. We got a Tam coming tomorrow. Agree as Tam is epic. Talk about prison rap as Tam. I heard we are going to outlaw geese. Folks, thank you so much for listening. Please support the podcast on Patreon. Patreon.com/BenBankus. Like, share, subscribe to everything. You guys are the best. Keep yourselves sane. Keep working out. Keep eating healthy because it's the only thing keeping me alive. If I order another Uber Eats, I don't know what's going to happen. So good night.